Queer Pen, Chapter 5. I wouldn't say or do anything to upset him, Mr. Sawyer. It was Dr. Lyle speaking, and Phil felt himself blushing, for he could not help but wonder what Lonnie had revealed to the psychiatrist, even wittingly. He's had a bad shock, as you know, and it seems that he is harboring resentment toward you for the manner in which you told him of his mother's death. Dr. Lyle's face was expressionless. It revealed nothing to Phil, but his eyes seemed to say, I know you probably got a sadistic thrill out of it, chum, but lay off for a while. Phil nodded. Dr. Lyle ruffled through Lonnie's dossier. Try to put yourself in his place, Sawyer. Imagine your own mother buried in a plain pine box. Sometimes we expect others to be able to take things in stride, which might not be quite so easy for ourselves to do. Apparently, he took your attitude to reflect upon his masculinity. At least, that's what I make of it from the little I found out. It only added to the trauma. He was already shocked about the death, and then when you hinted that his reaction was unmanly, it really affected him. Pretty badly, I fear. Phil got up to leave, but Dr. Lyle had something else to say. I would prefer if you didn't see him at all, Sawyer. After all, he is going to be a pretty important witness for the prosecution. The defense is probably going to do all in their power to discredit his testimony, including trying to prove he is insane or irrational. They'll attack him quite viciously, I'm afraid, and he's going to need all the strength he can muster. I don't want him upset any more. I feel that he associates you with this unpleasant death business and other related incidents. A man can take only so much, Sawyer, and when his masculinity is threatened, or he imagines it is threatened, he can become highly irrational. My responsibility is to see that he gets on that witness stand in good mental health or in the best of which he's capable. I understand, Sawyer said. He wanted to get out of there immediately. Dr. Lyle seemed to sense it. He fled Dr. Lyle's office, taking the stairway rather than having to wait for the elevator. Out in the sunshine, the sight of the cane fields beckoned to him. His eyes were burning and his mind was numb. He stumbled down the furrows, ignoring the greetings of a few inmates who stared after him in amazement. Phil was usually quite friendly, and his silence surprised them. He walked straight for the barn. The shack in which Lonnie had been living was empty, and as he passed it, he averted his eyes. He didn't want to see Lonnie's cot. He didn't want to remember the things that Lonnie had said happened on that cot, in that shack. He had a mental picture of Reb, and he felt a wave of hatred envelop him. He went into the barn, and the quiet, dim interior felt cool after the heat of the field. He stared briefly at the beam from which Jazz had hanged himself. Then, Phil walked over to the spot where Lonnie had waited patiently for their meeting. It was late in the afternoon now. For 2 whole days, Lonnie had been lying in the infirmary under intensive care. Phil hadn't realized that some people die from shock. He only just began to understand that he'd almost caused Lonnie's death. His pulse had fallen pretty badly, and it was hours before they were certain that he'd pull through. It was so puzzling. The human mind was fantastic. He stared down at the mud floor. The 2 cigarette butts were still there. He picked one up carefully, the one Lonnie had smoked. He thought briefly that when Lonnie had smoked this very cigarette, he'd been well. Completely well. And then, all of a sudden, bam, almost off his rocker. Something fell on his hand, and he looked down at it in surprise before he realized that a tear had fallen from his eye. He remembered how Lonnie had knelt pathetically on that very floor, his eyes wide and tearful as he had looked up to him for help, for some sympathy. There had been so much he hadn't known. He thought he had known all there was to know about Lonnie, but Dr. Lyle had given him some interesting things to think about. Then, too, there were things which he was aware of which weren't in Dr. Lyle's possession. Hell, he'd known the kid was in love with him. He'd even encouraged it in his own way. He had felt himself attracted to Lon, and he had hoped, well, he had hoped, that maybe after Lon was released, maybe they could... But there was no sense thinking about that now. He had hurt Lonnie pretty badly. He didn't have much hope of retaining any of the respect which the kid had previously had for him. He had wanted Lonnie to be a man. Christ, he hadn't known what being a man was. He hadn't known the enormity of what Lonnie was concealing. He'd thought it was something fairly simple, something which only his cowardice prevented him from saying. But this was big. The warden was right. It would be a national scandal. headlines across the nation and maybe even the world. He knew now what Lonnie had meant when he'd said that he didn't understand. He knew now what they'd put him through on that stand. Every bit of his testimony would have to be repeated and before an entire courtroom, unless the judge insisted on a closed hearing. That was likely, but it wouldn't make it any less awful for Lon. He knew what Lonnie meant about never being safe. If Maddox was peddling dope, he had to be getting it from some source outside. Those sources, wherever and whoever they were powerful and fearless. If they dared to do something this flagrant, they'd stop at nothing. Killing Lonnie would be a simple task and a warning to other stoolies. He felt responsible for Lonnie's predicament. Still, he tried to rationalize, to tell himself that justice was justice. The truth had to come out, no matter what. Maddox and Thompson had to be brought to justice, come what may. But when he thought of how he had cruelly topped that off with the news of his mother's death, Phil's chest tightened. He felt as though a fist were in there, squeezing his lungs together. He remembered how he had rebuked him for being a coward. Try to act like a man, Lon. For Christ's sake, behave like a man. The words rang in his brain until they seemed to be bouncing from one wall of the barn to the other, and Phil felt tears rolling down his face. He remembered Lonnie sitting under the shade of the cypress tree, blushingly telling him of the treatment he'd received at the hands of Judge Peterson, both as a child and as a defendant. He remembered Lonnie's sorrow at having had to give his funeral to his father such a cheap funeral. But cheap or not, at least Lonnie had struggled to pay for it. At least he'd been there. No one else had thrown the man into a pine box for him. But they'd done it to his mother. Oh, God, Phil thought, forgive me. Please forgive me. He should have realized. He was an educated man. Talking with Lonnie, it must have been apparent that the boy had already been so affected by this past experience that he was somewhat unstable. He wasn't crazy, but he was emotionally in bad shape. He'd had a lot of knocks. His instability was proven by what he'd done at the bank. He had just picked up the money and walked out on his lunch hour. He'd paid all his creditors. He hadn't even left town. Such irrationality should have been a warning to him. He'd expected too much from the kid. It wasn't his fault if he couldn't live up to the dream Phil had built. Phil took out his handkerchief and wiped his eyes. He blew his nose loudly and got up from his kneeling position, brushing the dust from his trousers. He walked out in the sunshine again. He saw the cypress tree. He could visualize Lonnie sitting there. He remembered how he'd seen the kid stammer with excitement as he tried to erase the line he'd made on his drawing. He'd taken it from him and done it himself, amused at the nervousness he'd created in the kid. He tried to see himself as Lonnie had seen him. Poor kid. He was a sheep herded in with a wolf pack. He'd probably looked to Phil as an island of hope in a sea of despair. If only he'd known what Reb was forcing him to do. If he'd known what the kid had been going through, even then. Maybe things would be different. He remembered that he went home every night to a clean apartment. He could forget the prison, but Lonnie could not. He went into the shack, taking hold of his emotions, for he hated to enter it. The stench of stale sweat and urine assailed his nostrils. Christ, hadn't he seen before? Had he been blind? Lonnie sleeping in his hole, enduring someone like Reb. They all must have seen what went on. He touched the mattress on Lonnie's bunk and lifted it. As he suspected, he found the little watercolor tin which he'd given him there, along with a pad and a couple of stubby pencils. Their erasers had been pretty badly worn. He touched them lovingly. He opened the pad and saw the original sketch which Lonnie had made of the muskrat. There were watercolor scenes which Lonnie had attempted. He flipped idly through the pages, finding many of the back pages blank. The book fell to the floor, and when he retrieved it, he found that the last page had been covered with a scribbling penmanship, as though someone had been practicing it. He stared at the neat, flowing letters which had been penciled. In neat rows, several of them, was his own name. Phil. Endlessly, down each column, just that one name. Phil. He immediately pictured Lonnie writing that name over and over again. For the first time in his life, Phil felt so deeply touched that he cried. There was no one around to see or hear. He sobbed like a baby. Before Lonnie was allowed to return to his shack, he'd been reassured by the warden and Dr. Lyle that he'd be safe for the time being. Utmost secrecy was being given to the task at hand. Concrete evidence had to be obtained, and they were keeping strict vigilance over Maddox and Thompson. The warden was certain that if what Lonnie said was true, they'd have all the evidence they needed, in short order. Lonnie had instructions to pretend that his mother's death had caused a temporary breakdown. He'd probably be teased a bit, but Dr. Lyle warned him to shrug this off as coming out of ignorance. Lonnie thanked Dr. Lyle. He'd come to like the man. He wondered what Dr. Lyle would think if he'd told him he'd be in love with Phil Sawyer. He figured that the man wouldn't be shocked. He seemed to understand everything, and Lonnie was grateful for everything he tried to do, for every little kindness he'd extended. "And Lonnie," Dr. Lyle said as the young man had started for the door, "try to keep your chin up, for my sake, not for your own. Promise me you'll try."
"I'll try, Doctor," Lonnie promised.
"Good boy," Dr. Lyle smiled. "I'm sure that there will be some great things ahead for you in life, Lonnie. Sometimes a bad start means a good ending."
"I hope you're right." Lonnie didn't feel nearly that confident, but at least he wasn't afraid anymore. He didn't care about Reb or Maddox or Thompson. He'd almost died already, or so Dr. Lyle had told him. You could only die once. Lonnie walked across the grassy slope. This time the guard merely nodded his head as he walked toward the cane fields. A few prisoners looked up at him. They weren't from his group, so they weren't aware of who he was. He felt as though he'd been away for years instead of several days. The cane rustled noisily in the breeze, whipping at his arms and scratching them. He'd forgotten how smelly the shack was. He'd have to get used to it all over again. The infirmary had smelled so clean and antiseptic. No body odor, no excrement can, no fumes. His thoughts on so many things, Lonnie arrived at the part of the cane field in which his own cellmates were working. Meat was the first to come up to him.
"You're looking well, Lon," he said, his face as handsome as ever, and his lips smiled broadly. "Feeling good?"
"Swell, Meat." Lon's eyes caught Phil Sawyer walking toward them, and his face clouded briefly. Meat turned to see what had caused the expression, and his eyes narrowed perceptibly.
"Fuck him, Lon," Meat whispered. "Forget him. He's a son of a bitch like the others."
"No," Lon whispered. "Not really. He just doesn't understand, Meat."
"That's the shit," Meat whispered, returning to picking up his hamper of weeds.
Sawyer walked up to them and held out his hand. Lonnie took it and shook it politely. He ignored the light squeeze which the guard gave him. He didn't even attempt to try to interpret its meaning.
"You needn't work today, Lon," Phil said, and smiled, but his awkwardness was apparent. "Take it easy. Tomorrow is soon enough to return to the job."
"Thanks," Lonnie said. He walked to the shack, feeling Sawyer's eyes boring into him. He felt as though every one of them were looking at him, wondering if he was crazy or not. "Fuck him," he thought. He went into the shack and got his watercolors and his pad and pencils, then walked to the cypress tree where he sat comfortably, trying to ignore the attention he was getting. He glanced up once and saw Phil looking his way, but when Lonnie looked up, Phil turned his head. "Probably thinks I'm nuts, too," Lonnie thought. "I guess he's afraid I might have ranted and raved about being in love with him. If he only knew, he needn't worry. But why tell him? Let him stew a while. It serves him right." Lonnie felt a brief flare of anger, and it died just swiftly when he remembered some of Dr. Lyle's words. Dr. Lyle was right. If he harbored any resentment toward Phil Sawyer, it could only harm him. Lonnie, not Phil. It would only help to tear him down, and what he needed was to be built back up. To be made whole again. The afternoon passed, and Lonnie tired of drawing. He returned to the shack and lay on his cot for a while, listening to the sounds of the men in the field ending their day. Hampers were being stacked, and the wagons and weeds were being hauled away. Animal tramped and followed by preached. They greeted him, and then Reb came in. Lonnie was surprised that he felt no fear. Reb seemed genuinely glad to see him. While they showered, Lonnie just rested. Meat had been the last to come in from the field, and then he had joined the others in the shower. When they'd returned to dress for dinner, Lonnie took his towel and headed for the tank, as they called it. Meat was still under the spray when he entered. He smiled. Lonnie remembered the last time they'd been in the shower together. That had been the day that Jazz... Well, he'd rather not think of that.
"Ha," Meat smiled.
Lonnie got under the spray with him.
"Going to supper?"
Meat asked.
"No, I'm not hungry."
"Me either," Meat lied. "Let's stay together a while. There's something I'd like to ask you."
"Go ahead and ask," Lonnie said.
"No, not now. Not here," Meat whispered.
He looked around conspiratorially, and for a moment Lonnie began to wonder.
Meet me in the barn after we finish showering.
No, Lonnie said emphatically. Definitely not there. I don't want to go there ever again. For two reasons, Lon thought. First, there was Jazz, and then, well, that had been the scene of his breakdown. Or the beginning of it.
Then in the shack, everyone else would be at chow, Meat said.
His hand lingered on Lonnie's thin frame for a minute, caressing him.
Meet me there, babe.
Lonnie finished his shower after Meat left, wondering what the man wanted to ask him about. He seemed so secretive. When he entered the shack, Meat had his towel wrapped around his neck. He was completely nude and gave no sign of dressing.
What's up, Meat? Lon asked. Meat smiled. Lon, remember that talk we had that day? You know, you asked me about being fucked.
Lonnie nodded, feeling somewhat relieved.
Well, I want to try it.
Lonnie looked at him. Do you know what you're saying? He asked unbelievably.
Sure, Meat grinned. Look, Lon, if anyone should know about fucking, it should be you, the man continued, unabashed. I've been thinking a lot about what you said. It might not be so bad after all. Then, even if it is reversed, it is a connection, ain't it?
Yes, but
no buts, Meat said. Look, I brought some sloppy soap from the shower. We can use that for a lubricant. I want you to fuck me.
Meat's matter-of-fact attitude shocked him. He wasn't used to hearing such a brawny man making such a request.
It's a big step, Meat, Lonnie said. Don't do anything without thinking about it.
I've done all the thinking I'm going to do, Meat said. It's all I've thought about while you were away, and I don't want to think anymore. I just want some action.
Meat reached for Lonnie's towel and pulled it from his body. Lonnie felt the other man urge him down upon the cot, and then he felt the slick, slippery sensation as the melting soap was applied to his flesh. He responded to the grasping hand immediately.
Hell, why shouldn't I, Lonnie thought. Phil doesn't give a damn about me. Maybe Meat does. Why not try it with him? He seems to want it.
Meat's face reflected his excitement.
Just lay there, Lon, he whispered. I'll sit on your cock slow-like. I guess that's the easiest way.
Lonnie felt the big, hulky man straddle him. The heavy things were on either side of his thin torso, and Meat was reaching back, guiding Lonnie's prick to its target. In spite of this activity, Meat was excited, too.
Lonnie stared at the impossible organ as it swollenly bobbed upon his stomach right above the bowl-like sack.
Meat's hairy torso was rippling in his excitement. Lonnie felt the other man begin to nip him lightly with his asshole, felt the partial penetration.
So far, so good, Meat whispered.
Then Meat sat down completely. It was a shock even to Lonnie as he felt the tight sheath envelop him. He'd never done this before, actively. It was his first time, too. The feel of the tight, convulsing asshole was almost overwhelming.
Meat's face reflected immense pleasure, a fact which surprised Lonnie very much. The soap had acted well, better than Lonnie had expected.
Oh, Lon, Meat whispered. Lonnie, you didn't tell me.
Oh, God, it's funny, but...
Lonnie felt the man's backside lift and then descend slowly. He continued this motion, creating a wonderful sensation for both of them. Up and down he went, faster and faster.
Lonnie was surprised at the ease of it all. He even began to wonder if possibly the man had deceived him all along. Maybe he wasn't a virgin.
Oh, Lonnie, Meat gasped. You didn't tell me it was this good. Oh, God. Good. Wonderful.
Lonnie felt the tremendous weight of the man bearing down upon him. As the sensations built up gradually, Meat was forgetting his own bulk and Lonnie's frailty. He was pounding harder now, and his own wobbling cock was bobbing about between their bellies, smearing Lonnie's stomach with lubricating fluid. The expression on Meat's face told Lonnie that he was experiencing intense pleasure. Perhaps Meat had been a virgin, but was just one of those anal erotics who hadn't discovered it until now. He obviously was not in pain.
Oh, Lonnie.
Lonnie, he repeated over and over, slamming his great ass down savagely.
At last. I'm with somebody at last, Lon. God, it feels good.
Meat reached under Lonnie's shoulders and embraced him, elevating him slightly so that he could kiss him. He felt Meat's large, sensual lips cover his own and his wet tongue push inside his mouth, searching and exploring. He continued to work his backside as he kissed Lonnie. Meat's mouth was big and wet. It traveled all over Lonnie's face and excited him. He'd never dreamed that Meat was capable of such passion. His breathing was quick and his kisses ardent.
Oh, Meat, you'd better stop. I'm near coming, Lonnie whispered.
So am I.
Oh, Lonnie, don't go off yet. Not yet, baby, I'm so near. So near,
Meat almost shouted as he worked his bottom furiously, churning and exciting himself in the process of rubbing his own prick between their stomachs. But Meat's clasping, churning asshole was too tight a receptacle for Lonnie to be able to control himself. Meat's muscles clasped too tightly and too energetically and caused all too much sensation at once. Oh, now, Meat, now! He felt himself flooding inside of the other man, deluging him. I feel it, Lonnie, Meat whispered almost hysterically. He continued his churning, vicious movements, impaling himself upon the still rigid but emptying cock inside. Lonnie relaxed, his passion spent, feeling Meat squirm about and still then as he was grasped savagely and kissed. He felt the hot swelling on his stomach, the liquid which boiled out of the other man's cock and poured onto him, and he was happy for Meat. At last, he knew what it meant to be united with another human being. For a while, time seemed to stand still for them. Meat stayed in his position, sitting on top of Lonnie, breathing hard until his heaving chest returned to a more normal pace, eyes glittering. Wow, Meat sighed. Lonnie, I didn't know what I'd been missing all my life. How do you explain it? I guess you're just anal erotic, Meat, Lonnie said. Some people have a lot of nerve endings there. You just never had a chance to discover them until now, that's all. Maybe because you are so large the other way, nature also supplied you with an abundance of nerve endings in the rectum. It may be that you have more than is normal or usual. You sure have more of the other things. Meat smiled. I'm glad. At least it kind of makes up for not getting it the other way. Lonnie was very conscious of Meat's weight now. The big man had begun to relax, and his 190 pounds felt quite heavy on Lonnie's frail pelvis. Son of a bitch! The word spoken softly startled both Lonnie and Meat. They looked at the door of the shack quickly and saw Reb standing there, one arm resting on the frame of the door. His face was calm, but it still revealed his surprise. Meat had been startled, too, for Lonnie felt the tight asshole grasp him viciously. Neither of the three said anything for quite some time. Reb just stood there, his face calm but interested. The late evening sun shone through his blonde hair, making it seem almost carrot-colored. His eyes were glittery. Meat and Lonnie made no move. They could only stare at the man who had caught them so intimately engaged. Then Reb came slowly forward, looking into Meat's face. Lonnie looked at Meat carefully. His face showed no fear. There was possibly a slight embarrassment, but certainly not fear. He knew Meat could swing Reb all around the shack if he had a mind to. Reb rested one hand on Meat's shoulder. It caressingly moved from there down his back, across the spine and down to the hairy buttocks. Lonnie could feel the hand exploring for his own cock was still intimately united with Meat's ass. "Lemme," Reb whispered. "Lemme have some, baby." Lonnie looked at Reb. There was no malice there. Reb's eyes shone with passion. Lonnie knew that there would be no trouble from the redneck. Meat's ham-like hand reached for Reb's groin where it gripped and squeezed. Meat looked down at his hand, undid the material, and pulled forth the evidence of Reb's excitement. His hand explored and touched as though enjoying the novelty of it, the novelty of feeling Reb's cock intimately. Reb was breathing shallowly now, his face contorted in passion and expectation. Lonnie noticed that Reb's hand seemed to be all over Meat's body now, feeling the chest and the pectorals, investigating the nipples which stood out so prominently. Meat, too, seemed aroused again. His stomach writhed in appreciation of the other man's touch. Then Meat rose slowly. Lonnie felt his limp cock slip from the tight confines of the big man's bottom and flop down onto the cot between his legs. Meat had a strange look on his face, an excited look. It was not the look of a novice anymore. He had experimented and had discovered. His face now contained raw, passionate expectation. He got up and, leading Reb by his rigid prick, went to his own bunk, where he lay down on his stomach and spread his legs. One long, hairy left leg left the cot completely, and the foot rested on the dirty floor. Reb hurriedly removed his trousers. He completely ignored Lonnie's presence. Lonnie was glad. He had expected Reb to be angry at finding him in an intimate contact with someone else. But apparently, Reb was not jealous of Lonnie's activities. Lonnie watched as Reb got on the cot behind Meat and positioned himself over the prone body. His rigid prick was pointing ahead of him, and one of Reb's hands guided it. He found the mark and then, with one vicious plunge, hurled himself into the dark, moist asshole which had only so recently been opened to mankind. Meat moaned and accepted the other man. Almost immediately, Reb began a vicious, passionate thrusting. Lonnie hadn't thought meat capable as yet of receiving such treatment, but the big man seemed to enjoy it. They worked in unison. Meat's pelvis was moving as well as Reb's, and he seemed to be pushing the other man upward as much as Reb seemed to be pushing him into the mattress. It was like watching a machine in action. Meat's head was turned to one side, his eyes closed tightly and his lips parted slightly. Saliva ran from the corner of his mouth, and his beautiful, sensual lips twisted in lusty passion. Reb's hands rested on one of Meat's shoulders, and his mouth was open too as he breathed rapidly and with difficulty. Occasionally, his lips would part and his teeth would be visible as he softly bit into the flesh of Meat's shoulder, nibbling but not hurting the other man. Lonnie began to fear that someone else might come back from mess and find the two of them engaged, but this didn't enter the other men's minds, or if it did, they certainly gave no indication of it. It was obvious that they were not going to stop fucking now in any case. Meat continued to enjoy Reb's thrusting, and he moaned loudly. His reaction seemed to trigger Reb's responses. Lonnie couldn't remember when Reb had shown so much passion while fucking him. Perhaps it was the unexpectedness of getting into Meat which affected him. After all, Lonnie thought, it isn't every day that one finds a mate like Meat. Meat was a handsome cuss. Perhaps otherwise normal men like Reb were secretly affected by it, somehow felt a swelling of the ego to be fucking someone so good-looking, someone built as Meat was. Lonnie knew there was a lot of unconscious homosexuality among all men. He didn't need to come to prison to discover that. Even on the outside, he'd seen otherwise normal men react to the sight of a handsome man. Meat was whining now. The plunges were a lot more vigorous than anything he'd experienced by sitting on top of Lonnie. A lot of nerve endings were being reached that hadn't been touched because of the position he'd used previously. If he'd enjoyed it with Lonnie, it seemed that he was enjoying it doubly with Reb. Their movements made noise now. Lonnie could hear Reb's abdomen slapping against Meat's buttocks. The noise seemed to fill the shack. The moans of both men were adding to the din. Rob was perspiring profusely now, and again, he'd wipe his forehead with his hands. His breathing was coming in short, loud gasps. For the final foray, Reb increased the tempo of his hips and pistoned savagely toward his finish. When he finally came, he fell heavily atop Meat, his hips writhing, his body churning. Reb coughed in passion and Meat moaned. Then Reb almost hollered. Lonnie knew how sensitive his cock was following orgasm, and he could imagine Meat's tight asshole clutching as viciously as it had clutched him. He knew how unbearably wonderful it must be for Reb at that moment. Occasionally, as Reb lay limply upon the other man, his body would be racked with a violent shuddering, as though a bucket of ice had been poured over him. Lonnie knew this was caused by the violent contraction of Meat's muscles on Reb's sensitive flesh. They lay like that for a long time, and then Reb extricated himself with apparent difficulty, sucking in air between his teeth as he did so. When they were finally disconnected, Reb took off his shirt, reached for his towel, and left for the shower. Meat still lay prone, his legs spread wide, his mouth still open. Lonnie got up quickly and went to kneel beside him. "Meat, are you all right?" he asked anxiously. Meat's lips curled into a smile and his eyes opened to look at Lonnie. "Oh, Lonnie, it's wonderful. Oh, God, but it's wonderful." Lonnie felt a wave of unidentified emotion. He didn't know whether it was pity or jealousy or anger. He'd wondered if he'd done wrong in having that talk with Meat. Perhaps it hadn't been right. He leaned forward and kissed Meat on the cheek, but Meat turned his head to present his lips. Suddenly tender, Lonnie kissed that sweet mouth. "I'm sorry, Meat," Lonnie whispered. "Forgive me." "No, Lonnie, I'm glad. Don't be sorry." Meat seemed to doze slightly, and Lonnie returned to his cot. Animal and Preach finally returned from supper, and they lazily went to take a shower, both ignorant of the monumental event. Lonnie lay there for a long time, staring at the ceiling. It was dark now. Soon Maddox would be locking the door. Reb returned and went immediately to his bunk in silence. He lay down and began snoring peacefully in minutes. When Animal and Preach returned, Maddox bolted the door and slipped on the padlock. Lonnie was still awake for some time. He could hear Meat snoring softly as he lay nude on his bunk, still on his stomach, sleeping peacefully. Lonnie wondered at what he had done. He now wished that he'd let matters lie, that he had gone to the shower the day Jazz killed himself. He hated to see Meat becoming so passionate. But why? Am I jealous because Reb punked him? He had no feeling for Reb, at least not romantically. Also, it would be impossible for him to love meat in the way he had loved Phil. There was no common mental ground for them to meet on. Yet, there had been communication, after a fashion. Lonnie realized that the communication they had was due to Lonnie's regression. He had gone down to meat's level, where they could meet. Meat would never be able to come up to his, and that was what he wanted. With Phil, they were on equal ground most of the way, and if anything, it was Lonnie who had to try to lift himself to meet Phil. In any relationship with meat, Lonnie would have to be the one to get things done, while meat would look to him to accomplish it, whereas it would probably be the reverse with Phil. As he lay awake, Lonnie realized he still had to regard meat as a criminal. Meat had been guilty of murder. Sure, he was easy to take advantage of, and if he'd had the right guidance, he probably would have never gotten into trouble, but the facts were facts. Lonnie had never considered himself to be a criminal. On the other hand, Phil was respectable. He was everything Lonnie had ever hoped to be. He came from a good family. They weren't rich, but they weren't suffering either, like his miserable family. He seemed to have everything. Everything except, Lonnie realized everyone had his faults, even Phil. He hadn't been able to anticipate the results of what he'd asked Lonnie to do. Lonnie had thought it was all so plain, self-evident, but maybe it hadn't been. Maybe he was misjudging Phil as much as the man had misjudged him. Perhaps if he'd been in Phil's shoes, it might not have seemed too much to ask. Well, it didn't matter now in any case. Lonnie knew that whatever feeling Phil might have had for him was dead. As dead as jazz. Funny thought. So many things had died. His mother, jazz, Phil's respect for him, Meat's masculine image, Reb's image also, for the man seemed quite responsive to Meat. Funny how one thing could trigger so many different reactions. He wondered if Jazz realized the outcome of his suicide. He hoped so, wherever he was. He hoped he was getting some feeling of vengeance, for by his death he was inevitably ruining the very men who had debased him. He hoped that Jazz was resting in peace, possibly for the first time. He realized that Phil was genuinely remorseful for having been so rough on him. He was sorry, but what good did that accomplish? There was no going back. He couldn't erase the memory of kneeling in the barn, sobbing. Phil would always remember him that way, like a coward. Yes, he'd always think Lonnie was a coward, no matter how sorry he was. He couldn't go back and rebuild that image. Phil had lost it forever. Lonnie finally fell into an exhausted sleep. His sleep was deep, for his mind needed rest, needed escape from reality. He did not dream, nor did his body move once. When he awoke, it was because two strong arms had encircled him and embraced him. He struggled briefly, although he made no sound. He felt the wet lips covering his own passionately, and he felt squeezed until his breath stopped. Lonnie knew who it was. He could feel the great length of cock pressing against his thigh. Only one person in Southern possessed such an organ. Lonnie gave himself up to Meat's embrace and enjoyed his kisses. He needed them. He realized that he needed Meat's affection as much as the other man needed his. They both needed something. Meat's moist lips kissed and caressed him, traveled over his face and his neck, only to return to his mouth, where he felt the tongue invade him. He felt Meat's teeth, tasted his saliva, and warmed to the feeling of his sensual mouth as it worked on his own, guided by hunger more than by experience. Poor Meat had hungered for a little affection and love for so long. Lonnie could forgive the intrusion into his sleep, the brash way he was talking, and his reactions for granted. He enjoyed Meat's warm, hairy embrace. He thrilled when the big, ham-like hands caressed his back, his buttocks and thighs. Lonnie had never been loved in this manner before. He had never reached such a pitch of passion or response. Meat was an adept lover and had certainly brought out every bit of response in him. The big hands felt every inch of his body, and Lonnie did not protest. The warm, sensual lips kissed his, and he gave his tongue, which Meat sucked gently and sweetly. He felt one of Meat's big hands on his thigh. It moved and caressed him, then grasped Lonnie's cock lovingly. The hand explored everything, fondly and wonderingly. Lonnie shuddered. "Lonnie, punk me. Fuck me now," Meat whispered. Meat rolled on his side, facing the wall, and Lonnie approached him. He could feel Meat's hand clutching at his cock, guiding him. Lonnie was prepared to make an easy entrance out of consideration for Meat's lack of experience. This was totally unnecessary, however, for Meat took the initiative and, with a backward push of his hips, encased Lonnie's cock all the way. Both men sighed, and Lonnie clutched the big man from behind, slipping an arm over his torso and caressing him. Lonnie had only to lie there. Meat did all the moving, swiveling his hips, dragging backward, forward almost to the tip, and then lurching backward until his buttocks caressed Lonnie's abdomen. Lonnie moaned. Meat turned his head to the side, and Lonnie kissed him, although it involved a struggle and neck cramping to do so.
"How's it feel, Lon?" Meat asked.
Like I'm being sucked." Lonnie reached before him and caressed the hairy chest and abdomen, moving downward until he met the thick, throbbing shaft. His fingers could not meet when they encircled it, but he started to pump up and down, working the skin loosely over the knob. Meat moaned in appreciation and undulated his bottom even more furiously. It was awkward because Lonnie's hand was not very large. It was dark, and the blackness hid their activity from their shackmates, but Lonnie didn't care if they heard. From the sounds of their snoring, it was doubtful if anyone had been disturbed. If they could sleep through that din, a few moans would certainly go unnoticed. Lonnie could feel the exquisite pleasure spreading through his groin, working outward toward the tip. He couldn't repress the feeling of imminence, which was growing fast because of the sensuous manner in which the other man's rectum grasped and caressed him. The asshole clutched and churned, drew forward to the tip, and then opened slightly like a hungry mouth, working downward to the base, nipping at the hairs there. He had no more doubts about Meat's anal erotism. He probably had been there all along, dormant till the first insertion. He contemplated the man's predicament, even in his pleasure. Meat was now 30. With a life sentence staring him in the face, and the impossibility of his ever taking an active part in the act, it might be a blessing in disguise. He had no wish to destroy Meat's newfound joy. He only wished that he could hold out longer so Meat might wring the most out of the union, but inexperience with the active role, the sensations were too different, too powerful and sensual for him to resist the impending orgasm. Prior to being used passively by Reb, his entire sexual history consisted of masturbation. This was certainly a far cry. Then, too, there was the powerful psychological stimulation which Meat's power provided. Lonnie knew the swelling of ego which he had seen earlier in Reb. It was a heady feeling to have someone as big and handsome as Meat whining and groveling in one's arms, while knowing he was responsible for that passion. "Oh, Meat, now! Now!" Meat whispered. "No," Meat whined like a puppy. "Make it last, Lon. Make it last longer. I can't, Meat. It's here. I'm coming." Convinced that his partner was indeed finishing, Meat did what he probably considered the only correct thing to do, and that was to animate his hips with even more vehemence, wringing the last drop of passionate fury from the invading cock. Lonnie attempted to extricate himself, but quickly one of Meat's large hands reached back, clasped his buttocks, and shoved the beloved flesh back into the receptacle. "Leave it in, Lon. For Christ's sake, leave it in a while." Lonnie felt his hand gently removed from the truncheon to which it continued to clasp. Meat's big hand replaced his own. A much better match. If his cock was large, the rest of Meat was in proportion. His fist clasped lovingly and began to pump. Lonnie could feel the man's body quivering from the motion. He was conscious of the arm movement, and once he was nudged by the elbow. He knew what Meat wanted and needed now, so he was determined to keep himself deeply established until the other man's orgasm. He kissed Meat's neck and ear, running his tongue along the neck and down to the shoulder. Meat moaned. Lonnie sucked on his earlobe and inserted his tongue deeply into the ear, tasting the bitter wax. Meat squirmed his head slightly, wanting further attention but finding it almost unbearable. Lonnie tasted the man's hair as he licked at the nape of his neck. He wanted to please Meat. He wanted to pleasure this big hulk who was so sweet. In spite of his low intelligence, Meat had a lot of heart, a natural understanding of human nature. The cot was vibrating from the movement of Meat's arm as he jerked himself toward his goal. Lonnie was conscious of a slight smacking sound which he knew was caused by skin, moist and pliable, being swiftly retracted. Meat's head swiveled suddenly until his mouth was within reach of Lonnie's. "Lonnie, kiss me, I'm near. Kiss me, babe." Lonnie covered the sensual lips with his own and felt the wet tongue slither into his mouth. He seized it and sucked on it hungrily, almost brutally as Meat came. With each forcible jet, Meat's bottom convulsed. Lonnie felt his cock gripped as though in a steel glove, a vice, but he loved it. Meat's hand had finally stilled. He allowed his tongue to be treated longer as he lay panting, squeezing purposefully so that he might enjoy Lonnie's deep cock inside. When they parted regretfully, Meat faced Lonnie and enveloped him in an embrace. He pressed 100 kisses to his face and lips, kissed his eyes and his neck. Lonnie lay there and enjoyed it. He did not even mind the feeling of their perspiration intermingling, the feel of their wet, sticky pricks pressed tightly against each other. It was the closest that meat would ever come to being active, and Lonnie let him enjoy it. Let him have his way. Lonnie felt one of his hands gripped in Meat's massive paw, and it was guided to his rump. Meat had thrown a heavy leg over Lonnie's lap and placed the hand where he wished it to be. Lonnie felt the myriad tiny hairs tickling him in their dampness. His fingers fled down the sweaty cleft and investigated the area which he had so recently penetrated. This action caused Meat to shudder in pleasure and to move his mouth more ardently on Lonnie's. Lonnie knew Meat's future had gelled. It was as decided as sunrise and sunset. Meat would forever be someone's punk, until he grew too old and ugly for anyone to want to be with him.